We're going to open the word right now to a very familiar passage of scripture. We are continuing our series called Ignite. And we're talking about igniting the fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives and allowing God to use us for his glory. All right. When you are going about your daily life, when you're just living life, God has a calling on your life. Even when you're dealing with the person at work you don't like, God has a calling on every one of us. We get to choose what we do with that calling. We get to choose how we are going to approach our lives. We get to decide, are we going to live with fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, or are we going to shrink back in fear and just sort of continue floating along like we've been floating? God wants us to step forward and use the gifts he's given us. And so this morning, I want to call this fire or fear. Which way are we going to go with this one? Are we going to choose fire, the fire of God in our lives, or are we going to choose fear and operating in fear? So we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We've read this scripture so many times right here on stage. It goes like this. Now remember, this is the Apostle Paul talking to the young Timothy, a pastor. Timothy is a pastor of the church at Ephesus. The book of Ephesians was about them. And so Paul is trying to give Timothy some advice. And this is 2 Timothy. And he says this, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." So the first part of that verse is, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God." Now, that's the New King James Version, so we're going to look at it in the New Living Translation as well. It says, "This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you." Paul was saying, remember when I prayed for you and God started to do different kind of stuff in you? Now, Paul was an apostle. An apostle goes. An apostle starts new stuff. An apostle is, in the Bible, was somebody who was operating in fire and not fear. Somebody who was moving forward every step of the way. Paul says to Timothy, I prayed for you. God gave you gifts to do this job, to spread the gospel, to win the lost. God gave you these gifts. And now he said, I want to remind you to fan into flames these spiritual gifts. He's saying you're going to have to use these gifts. And I like to sort of divide this up a little bit. We often talk about somebody who's talented. We're really talking about somebody who's truly gifted by the Holy Spirit. So I want to divide this up just a little bit. I think there are talents. That's the stuff you get at birth. You know, the kid you see on TV playing the piano and he's 4 years old and he just doesn't even know what he's doing. He's just doing it. You know, the one we're all jealous of. That's just a talent. Some kids just run fast. That was not me. We recognize this talent. We might look at a football player when they're very young and go, that kid is an athlete. He was born with that talent. Now, obviously, God gave him that talent, but it started at birth. And then there's abilities. That's the stuff we develop, the ones we put the effort into. You remember your mom made you go to piano lessons every Tuesday afternoon and you hated it. And now you can play the piano. You hated every minute of it, but you developed that ability. And so your abilities and my abilities have a cap on how far they can go. And it depends much on how far we're willing to go and what we're willing to put into it. And then there's the gifts of the Spirit. This is when you get saved and God gives you a spiritual gift, a supernatural gift that changes things for you. Where people around you go, wow, you just have a boldness now that you didn't have before. You're just encouraging or you have an understanding of God's word, or you seem to just know what God is saying in the moment to the situation. It's a spiritual gift that God wants to use. So God will use all of these in our lives. He blesses us with talents. He blesses us when we put effort into abilities. He blesses us with spiritual gifts. Now, in Matthew chapter 25, another very, very familiar passage of scripture for us, it tells us about a group of people that someone looked at them and recognized they had some ability, right? So this is a rich guy who is about to go away, and he's been watching his servants to see how much they can handle. You know, you know who can handle what at your job. You're like, well, I'm going to be gone, so I know, you know, Jimbo can't handle this, but Jack can. So I'm going to give it to him, or I'm going to let them handle it because he'll never be able to. He can handle this, but he can't handle that. That's exactly what this guy's doing. He didn't get rich by accident. He recognizes abilities in other people. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. Let's stop right there. He entrusted his money. I mean, next to my family, I'm guarding my money next, right? I want to guard my soul. That goes without saying, but I want to guard my family. My money comes really close second, all right? Because I want to make sure that's taken care of. This man felt the same way. Verse 15 says, he gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. Then he left on his trip. It says that he divided it according to their abilities. So he gave one guy 5 bags of silver, 2 bags of silver, 1 bag of silver. And he said, I'm going. I want you to do something with this and make me some money while I'm gone. Remember, they were servants. They worked for him. Now, you need to understand, this was a lot of money. This was an incredible amount of money. Some historians say that 1 bag of this silver, 1 talent of this silver would have been worth 20 years of wages. So one guy, he gave 20 years of wages. Think about what you're going to make for the next 20 years. He said, here, I want you to take this. I want you to make me some more money while I'm gone. But the top guy, the guy with 5 bags, he gave him 100 years of salary and said, I'm leaving. I trust you. He had been watching this guy. He'd been looking and seeing. He had been noticing the abilities increasing as this guy worked for him. He knew that he could trust all three. He felt that he could trust all three. But he knew one of them was above all the rest. One, he gave 1 bag. The next one, he gave 2 bags. And the next one, he gave 5 bags. Now, this is the guy that we all get jealous of. We're like, all the good stuff always happens to him. But we forget that he has been working behind the scenes. He's been developing those abilities. He's been responsible. He's taking care of things. He's doing stuff the right way. He shows up on time. He takes care of the boss's stuff. And as this happens, he is growing his abilities. And this good man, the boss, sees him and then gives him this opportunity to take care of and steward the most. Now, when we recognize this, that God will give us more ability as we go along if we take care of what we have already been given. Some of us have got tons of talent back there, tons of ability back there, but we're not doing anything with it. And God wants us to move forward in this and trust Him and use those talents. Some of us are wondering why good stuff doesn't ever happen to us. And the question is answered when the guy comes back, the rich guy comes back from his trip, and he calls in the guy with 5 talents, and he goes, what'd you do? And he said, well, I turned it into 10 talents. You gave me $100 years worth of salary. I turned it into 200 years worth of salary. You gave me, it's basically in our market today, $5 million. He said, you gave me $5 million, I turned it into 10. Well done. This is what the man said to him. Well done, good and faithful servant. The guy with 2 talents brings it up there. He says, you gave me $2 million. I turned it into $4 million. And he's feeling good about stuff. He's like, I know how to pick talent. I can spot abilities. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. The guy with 1 talent, and he was given $1 million. And he said, look, boss, I knew that you were a hard man. And he starts trying to make excuses. He said, I knew that you were a hard man, and you reap where you don't even sow. In other words, you're looking for the pennies. You're taking care of your money. He says, I understand who you are. And so instead of, you know, taking a chance on losing this money, I just buried it. And here it is. It's $1 million with dirt on it. He's like coming, he's like brushing the dirt off. It's all over the floor in front of him. I don't know if that's why I'm, but he said, I buried it and here it is. He's like happy. Like I did it. And the boss says, cast this guy out. You're fired. Take what he has. Now watch this. Take the million and give it to the guy with 10 million. Because he's been doing something with his. And he got rid of him. Kicked him out forever. He was never going to get another opportunity. Now, to me, this is powerful because of one simple thing. If I am willing, when God gives me a talent, an ability, a gift, when God gives me that, he knows if I can handle it or not. The only thing that matters is, do I think I can handle it in God's power? And with God's Spirit. Many times God has blessed us with talent. He blesses us with ability. He blesses us with gifts. And we waste it because we're afraid. So we step back and we think, well, this will be good enough. I'm just going to guard it. Just going to bury it in the backyard. And when he comes back, I'll give it back to him. Hey, I got it. The master's not interested in getting back the talent that he gave you. He's interested in us turning it into more because he's building his kingdom. Now, when we start to use our gifts, we have to make a choice. I'm going to use this gift and I'm going to deal with the fear. There's never been a time when somebody stepped out using a talent, ability, a gift without being afraid just a little bit. Listen, if they weren't afraid, the Bible talks about them too. Pride comes before a fall. If you think you're all that, you're going to fall right on your face. But if you enter this relationship with God saying, Lord, I want to use what you've given me, and I'm scared to death. I'm terrified to use this gift. Then you're the perfect candidate. Because you value, it means you value what God's already given you, but you want to expand it for his kingdom. You see, a car won't drive until you turn it on. And a phone will not make a call until you press the button. I know some of you have been butt dialing people for years. But you press the button. You pressed it. You can look at your phone all day long. And it's not going to call anybody until you touch the phone. Until you engage the phone. My talent, my ability, my giftedness will never be turned on, will never be used until I press the button and use it. Until I take a chance moving forward. God has blessed people in this room, watching online, with talents, with abilities, with giftedness that we are hoarding. We're holding on to it, thinking that one day we're going to feel better about it. One day it's just going to be, the light's going to come on. Let me just tell you, the light is never going to come on. That's not the way this works. You got to engage it in the fear and get the fire burning. The fire doesn't start on its own. We have to do something. We just read where Paul told Timothy, okay, now fan into flame this spiritual gift. You got to get busy using it. So 1 Corinthians 12 says this. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. The Holy Spirit gives you and me gifts to use for his kingdom. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. God chose you to do one thing, me to do something else. I can't do what you can do. You can't do what I can do. God gifted each one of us. He looks at every one of us and we goes, okay, here's his ability. This is her ability. Now, let me give her what she needs. Let me give him what he needs to do this job and do it well. It says the Spirit is the one who does that. Look at verse 7. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Just look at somebody right now and go, you're gifted. Now look back at that person and say, here's my gift. Let me tell you about my gift. Don't do that. Don't do that. That makes us nervous when we have to do that. It's important to have people in our lives that will encourage us to use our gifts. Because most of us are scared to use our gifts. Most of us are afraid to step out. We need somebody that we look up to in the faith to say to us, I see this in you, and I don't think you're living up to the giftedness that God has already placed in your life. If you don't have that person in your life, you can't wait for them to show up. You got to go find them. You got to get out of your comfort zone. You got to go find that person that you look up to in the faith and go, help me take my next step. Help me use my gifts. What do I need to do? I feel like a failure. I don't feel good enough. And that person's probably going to say to you in humility, I used to be the same way. I used to feel the same way. I thought that I had no gifts and no ability. We look at those people with the 5 talents of silver, the big abilities, and we just get jealous of them. I see that with people all the time. That's a 5-talent person. Man, they're organized and they can sing and they're in shape and they got all this stuff. Look at them. A little bit of jealousy creeps up. And then I realize they're human too. I have to remind myself they're dealing with stuff too. There's nothing special about them. They're just doing what God told them to do. My job is to do what God told me to do. If I'm a 1-ability guy, God does not expect a 5-ability results. God expects a 1-ability results. I don't have to compare myself to anybody or anything. I just go, this is what God called me to do. Let me do that one. Amen? All right. A spiritual gift is given to each of us, everybody in the room. As we grow closer to Christ, as we give our heart to Christ, and he gives us those gifts so we can help other people. My gift is never about me. This is a big one. My giftedness, my ability, the God-given talent I have is never about me. It's always about somebody else. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says this, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. The Holy Spirit, he distributes all the gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Now remember the master? He said he looked around, he saw the abilities. We got a 1-talent guy, a 2-talent guy, and a 5-talent guy. That's what the master said. Here we got the Holy Spirit going, okay, I need to give this person this gift, that person that gift, those people these gifts, and then we're going to build the church. We're going to reach the city. We're going to make an impact for Christ. And the Holy Spirit is saying that because he always points us back to Jesus. He will always point us back to Jesus. So whatever gifts we have, he's done it so that we can build the kingdom. He's given that to us so we can build the kingdom. And now let's look at another scripture. Let's go all the way back to the first scripture we started at. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. You got to fan into flame. So remember, Paul is telling young Pastor Timothy about this. He's saying, here's some advice you're going to need. But now this advice didn't just come out of a vacuum. There's a relationship between Paul and Timothy. I love this relationship because it started in a crazy way. All the way back in Acts chapter 14, verse 19. Let's go back and look at this. Acts chapter 14. So Paul, and we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, Paul and Barnabas are preaching the gospel, working together as a team. They've gone out, the sick are being healed, and I mean, just a miracle after miracle. And the people around them said, look, these guys are gods. This is Zeus, and this is Hermes, and Barnabas and Saul were like, Paul, and we're like, no, whoa, that's not us. We're just like you. We're human. We just have connections with God. We're just connected to God. Well, it made some people really, really jealous because they thought they were going to lose their religious power over other people. And watch what happens. Then some Jews, the people who were jealous, these were leaders, they arrived from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowds to their side. Remember, now these people had just been calling Paul and Barnabas gods. You guys look like gods. Amazing stuff is happening. And then these new people show up that are jealous and they turn the crowds against Paul and Barnabas, watch this. And they stoned Paul and dragged him out of town, thinking he was dead. So they grabbed Paul. That was a form of capital punishment at the time. They had to drum up some charges because legally these charges didn't work, and they just had to fake some charges and say we're stoning Paul right here. They stoned him. They dragged him out of town, thinking he was dead. But as the believers gathered around him, these are Christians, as the believers gathered around him, he got up and went back into the town. Now listen, you got to know God if they stone you, they check and they go, yeah, he's dead. Get him out of here. They drag him all the way outside the town, and the believers gather around him. We have to assume they prayed over him. They're like, God, we really need Paul. He's our muscle right here. He knows you better than anybody. It seems they were praying for him. He gets up and he heads right back into town. All the people who just stoned him had to be sitting there with their slack-jawed looks on their face like, what in the world are we going to do now? We thought we killed him. We used up all our rocks. What are we going to do? Paul became an iconic figure. In my old Bible years ago, I wrote, he was knocked down, he was dragged out, and he came back for more. He was ready. He was not afraid. He was not willing to live in fear. He was going to walk in the fire of the Holy Spirit every day of his life. Now, Timothy was from this area where Paul was stoned. And no doubt Timothy was either one of the believers. He's a very young man at this point. And he probably sees this happen. He probably was one of the believers that's standing around Paul looking at him going, well, we better pray for him. And he saw this. More than likely, he saw this happen. If he didn't see it with his own eyes, he sure heard about it very quickly. About a year goes by, and watch what happens in chapter 16. Paul went first to Derbe and then to Lystra, where there was a young disciple named Timothy. His mother was a Jewish believer, but his father was a Greek. Timothy was well thought of by the believers in Lystra and Iconium. So Paul then meets young Timothy in the area where he had been stoned a year earlier. And this relationship starts. Paul sees something in Timothy. He's like, you're highly thought of. I see that you're a strong, young believer. He had somebody in his life. Now, Timothy had somebody in his life that was recognizing gifts and praying for God to give him more gifts. Paul and Timothy establish this relationship, and they go on a missionary journey. They go into Ephesus and they build this church, and people are being saved and delivered and being healed. All these amazing things are happening. And then this relationship continues to grow. And after Paul's first imprisonment in Rome, Paul was imprisoned twice in Rome. After his first imprisonment, he's on a missionary journey, and Paul and Timothy's back at Ephesus taking care of the church. He's a new pastor now. And he says, Paul writes him this letter. Watch this. In 1 Timothy, he writes to Timothy, and he says this, fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. Now watch what he's doing. Paul is out there winning the world for Jesus. He's out there knocking the devil in the head. He's doing his thing. And he writes to Timothy, hey, Timothy, remember, fight the good fight for the true faith. He says to him, hey, there are going to be some fights in front of you, some spiritual battles in front of you. Fight the good fight. Make sure you stay on course. Do this thing the right way. So that's when Paul is out there preaching and doing all this amazing stuff. Well, 4 years later is when Paul writes 2 Timothy. It's just a letter to Timothy, but he writes it from a Roman prison. It's his second time in prison. He writes this letter to young Timothy, and there's something different going on in this letter. It's just not the same as it was the first time. The first time is, hey, you need to fight the good fight. I'm out here fighting it. I just need to make sure you're fighting it. But watch what happens. 4 years later, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says this, As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. What does that mean? It means my life is coming to an end here on earth. The time of my death is near. Watch this. I have fought the good fight. Remember, 4 years early, he's telling Timothy, you better fight the good fight. And now he's telling Timothy, I've already fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me. It's changed. All of a sudden, he's not saying it to Timothy. He's saying it to himself. He understands there's a changing of the guard happening here. He understands that something is going on. History tells us, or tradition tells us, that after Paul wrote 2 Timothy, he was beheaded by Emperor Nero. Nero was after all the Christians because Rome had burned, and he needed a scapegoat. And he's like, it was those Christians, those terrible Christians. It was them. They didn't do it, but he was blaming them. And so he beheaded Paul, and that seemed to get the monkey off his back so that he could move on. He was starting to lose his mind, Emperor Nero was at that time. And Paul dies after this. Paul understood that his time on earth was about to end. He understood that something was happening. He didn't reprimand Timothy. He says this, I need you to keep the faith. I need you to fight the good fight. And then he backs up again and says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished this thing. And now he comes back to Timothy again and he says, hey, you're going to need to fan into flames the gift that I prayed that you would get. At the end of 2 Timothy, there's a whole list. I encourage you to go look at it later. It's a whole list of people. It's as if Paul is saying to Timothy, I need to pass the torch. Okay, here's some people to look out for. This guy walked out on me, and this guy didn't do what he said. We're going to trust that God will take care of them. And here's some people you can really count on. He lists several people in this letter, which is not something he did a lot. And he really gives Timothy a lay of the land for the Christian culture at that time. And he says, this is where you are, and I'm going to pass the torch on to you, but you're going to have to fan these flames. You're going to have to fan these flames. This is not going to happen easily. I need somebody to step up. And I want to put somebody on the spot this morning. Grandma's prayers ain't going to cut it anymore. We still want grandma praying if she's around, all right? But if grandma has already fought the good fight and she's in heaven, somebody's got to take up the battle. And God has placed in us, within us, the gifts that are needed to make the church move forward and grow in a culture that wants to kill it. God, yeah, amen. God wants to use us. But we have to choose. Paul said, look, you're going to have to fight the good fight. And a few years later, he comes back and he goes, hey, I've already fought it. I'm done fighting. I realize my life is coming to an end and I am passing the torch. Now, young Timothy, and it could be any one of us, no matter what our age is, he's saying, hey, I need you to fan into flame the spiritual gifts you received. You saw grandma pray, learn how to pray like grandma. You see somebody that you look up to right now serving in CR, serving in High Octane Kids, or serving. You see it all the time, and you're thinking, well, they're special. And they are. Because they chose to use the gifts that God had given them a long time ago. God uses us if we want to be used. We have to choose it, though. I'm challenging somebody. I'm just going to lay it out there this morning. I'm challenging us to step up and use our gifts. To step up, not because Grace Point Church needs you, because God has called us to it. Because God has something bigger for us to do. Timothy was not a guy that ran out and put himself in front of everybody. He was not a Paul. And yet, here is Paul passing the torch to a man who doesn't really want to be out there in front of everybody. Who doesn't need that? If we go all the way back to the Old Testament, Moses is about to leave earth and he goes, Joshua, you're second in charge. You've been second in command for a long, long time. And now I'm going to need you to be strong and courageous. It's the same thing Paul did to Timothy. I need you to stir up the gift of God within you. I need you to fan this flame. What is it that God's calling us to do? What is it that God wants us to do? We can operate in fire or we can operate in fear, but we can't do both. We can't operate in fear because when we operate in fear, here's what we're saying. We start to rationalize, I've already done enough. I want to talk to some folks that are in the older generation. We'll just say that. God is not done. God is not done. God needs you to be a Paul to some Timothy. God needs you encouraging people along the way. God needs you sharing the message. You see, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. When God gives you a gift, He gives you that gift until you're gone from this earth. He doesn't say, well, you need to be an encourager until you turn 65 and then you're off the hook. Retirement is an American idea, not a Bible idea. I hope you do get to quit working at Walmart one day, but I hope you still keep using your gifts for Jesus. Amen. Now watch this. Paul said to Timothy, I need you to fan those flames. Let me talk to all of us young people. It is scary to step out and use your gift. It's terrifying. If I was really honest with you right now, I guess I'm always honest, but let me just really pull back the veil right here. I don't need to be up here on Sundays. As a matter of fact, there are some Sundays I'm sitting over there going, I'm going to apply to Walmart this week. Because what if I mess this up? What if I don't get it right? I stand over there and put it all on God. I'm standing right there this morning just a few minutes ago, and I was like, God, these are your people, not mine. If they're going to be blessed, you're going to have to do it because I don't know how. And I've been doing this for 30 years. And yet I still have this little thing in the back of my mind that says, I don't know, it might not work this time. Might not be enough. And then I got to remember what Paul said to Timothy. And I'm not a young pastor anymore, but I used to be. But I still got to remember what he said to Timothy. You're going to have to stir up that gift of God. You're going to have to fan into flame the gift of God. God has given every one of us gifts to use for His kingdom. To help us build the kingdom of God, to win the lost. As long as there is a heaven and a hell, we have to use our gifts. We got to reach somebody for Jesus. When we operate from a place of fear, we start to protect rather than progress. You know, the guy with the one talent, I'm just going to protect it. The other two guys are like, we're progress. That's what we want. We want to move forward. What is it that God's calling you to move forward in? And I'll tell you this, if it's God calling you, it's going to be scary. God doesn't call you to like, just move right here. It won't even scare you a bit. You're like, I can do that on my own. I don't need direction. I don't feel like I need empowerment. I can do that. But if God is saying, I need you to step out, use this gift. When we operate in fear, we stop listening to God's voice. We just quit listening to God's voice. When we operate in fear, we avoid new challenges. When's the last time you accepted a challenge from God? When's the last time that God said, I need you to do this, and you're like, okay. Instead of going, well, I think I'm past that in my life. Let me put this on the back burner for now. We start avoiding challenges. God's called us to accomplish more. He wants us to use our talents. He wants us to use our abilities. He wants us to use our gifts for Him. For Him. He gave us these abilities on purpose. I don't know exactly how it looks when the Holy Spirit chooses who gets what gift. But there's a method to the madness. We all just look around and go, well, he's got that gift and she's got that gift and they got this and whoever. But the Holy Spirit very pointedly gave you the gift you have. Now, Satan is going to tell you, it's not that great. And it's not without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But when God, the Spirit, when the Holy Spirit empowers you to get the job done, you'll look back later and go, wow, that was cool. I didn't expect it to be that good. But it'll be scary. It'll be scary stepping out. We got to trust the Lord. When we operate in fear, we stop dreaming. We stop dreaming. We just think all the dreams are in the past. I'm going to read you this. I'm going to ask the band to come on back up here. I'm going to read you this poem. Not a poem. It's part of a speech. I've read it to you before, but I felt like I just want to share it again this morning. This is from Teddy Roosevelt over 100 years ago. He gave the Man in the Arena speech. And there's a segment of this speech that I think speaks to every one of us this morning. It goes like this. It is not the critic who counts. Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles. Or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena. Whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood. Who strives valiantly. Who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? Who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly. So that his place shall never, watch this, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. I would hate to end my life saying, I really wish I would have tried. I really wish I would have seen what God would do with that gift. I don't want to be that cold and timid soul that says, you know, I never failed because I never tried. I'd rather fall flat on my face trying, and I feel like we would all rather fall flat on our faces trying than sitting back in a safe place saying, well, maybe one day. Because the problem is, maybe one day is never coming. It won't come. Paul says to Timothy, I need you to be active. I need you to make a choice. I need you to get busy fanning into flames the gift you already have in you. It's already there. Paul was saying, I'm about to be gone. I'm passing it to you, and I need you to get the job done. I want you to stand with me, everybody. What's going on right now? What's holding you back from doing what God is calling you to do? I've told this story before, but years ago, somebody said to me, I don't think I can give my heart to Christ because I'm afraid I'm called to preach. I'm like, bro, let's one step at a time, man. Let's just meet Jesus before you start thinking about what he's telling you to do, right? If you're afraid of where God is taking you, you should be. Because it's bigger than you and it's bigger than me. I can't walk into that with arrogance. But I can walk into that in assurance saying, I know what God's called me to do. Here's the stuff that I see happening. Let other people speak into your life. If you don't have that person, it's time to find them. It's time to find somebody that can look you in the eye and go, here's what you're good at, man. I see this stuff. I see it when you do this and you do this and you have this ability. I see it the way people look at you when you do these things. You make an impact on people when you do this. Because he's given us spiritual gifts so that we can help one another. We can help one another. There's somebody right now that needs you to use your spiritual gift. I'm going to say it one more time and we're going to close. There is somebody in your life right now that needs you to fan into flame the spiritual gift that God has given you so you can help them, bless them, encourage them toward Christ. Somebody in your life needs it. It's not the important people that God's calling. He's calling all of us. All of us. What is it that God has for you? I'm going to give you a simple way. This is not a dream team plea. I don't want this to be taken this way. But if you don't know where your giftedness lies, I encourage you to get signed up for Growth Track. It'll be a way for the people in Growth Track to help you find the people that you need right here at Grace Point so that you can start using that gift for God's glory. Because if I have been gifted and I don't use that gift becomes a weight. That gift becomes guilt. I look around and I say, I could have, I should have, I would have, but I didn't. And so we start living with regrets. And the way to fulfillment is to say, let me stir up this gift. Let me fan it into flame. Let me give God the room to work. Let him do his thing. So who is it right now that needs you to use your gift? And we're going to pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your grace and your mercy today. Lord, we are unworthy to have any talent. We're unworthy for you to increase our ability. We're unworthy of any gift you could ever give us. And we know it. But we want to serve you. And we know you've called us to. And Satan would love for us to sit back and live in fear instead of living by faith. But today, God, our desire is to step out in fire, Lord, and let you ignite us for the kingdom of God, to build others up, to help others in our lives. And God, we just ask you to use us for your glory. We ask you, God, to get the glory from our lives. Lord, we don't want the glory. We don't need people to see us. We want people to see you. And God, we just trust you today. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise today, Lord, for what's going to be done, for what's going to be accomplished in your kingdom. We give you praise. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give him some praise, everybody. Amen. All right. I want to end it with this very simple question, and I want you to take it home. Who in your life right now needs you to use your gifts? You say, well, my gift is not very refined. I'm not very good at it yet. Who cares? Who cares? The greatest chefs in the world learned how to cook bologna sandwiches first. And they were good, too. You just start where you are. Use what you have. Do what you can. And let God take care of the rest. And you'll start to see the fruit happen. But who in your life right now needs you to use your gifts? And God will do it. Father, bless us as we go. Use us for your glory this week. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, everybody. Thank you for being here today.